pickup truck. I don't know. He ain't got no pickup like that. Bub's got a van and a car now. Didn't. That's a big one. That's a big full size truck. No, it's not that. It looked like a gray looking one. Okay. Well, we'll get started. Chapter 7 of Mark, verse 1. Again, what is this all about? What is this teaching about that I've been teaching on for the last year, over a year? Mind of Christ. So what are we trying to figure out here?
What was Christ thinking during this?
We know the mind is thinking, thought processes. So we need to find out why things were said, how things were said. We need to figure out what this is about. If we don't, how are we ever going to put on the mind of Christ if we don't know what the mind of Christ is? Okay, we need to put it on. So I'll read this first and see where we go. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews except they wash their hands oft, eat not holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, pots, and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whosoever curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things like things you do. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing that from without enters into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it enters not into his heart, but into his belly, and goes out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which comes out of a man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she sought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out of her daughter and laid on the bed. And again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, that had an impotent, impediment of speech in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up at heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string on his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much more, the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Imagine that. Okay, back to verse 1. If we realize what happened in the last few verses of the 6th chapter of Mark, the last verse says, And whithersoever he entered into the villages and cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, as it were, the border of his garments, and as many as touched him were what? They were delivered, sozo. But the word touched is the other key word here, because this word touched does not just mean reach out and touch something. It means to attach yourself to it. So it tells me when I attach myself to Christ, then I will be delivered. See? Aren't we supposed to be coming one with Him? See? I'm supposed to be coming one with Him. That means I've got to attach myself to Him. And that's what the language of that word actually says. Attach oneself to it. So it's a little more intimate than just running by and brushing by and touching somebody. A little more to it. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from where? What was that? It's a religious place, Jerusalem. So he's talking about the scribes and Pharisees, and they were leadership of the religious realm that day, was they? Okay. So he's talking about that kind of people. He's not talking about first fruit people here. He's talking about people of duality. Jerusalem says double. Talks about two mountains of Jerusalem. See, of duality in the mind. So they have two ways of thinking. And religion is a double-minded thought process because it thinks in the natural humanistic views and tries to put God in the same place and say it's the same thing. And James said a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all of his ways. That's why religion is unstable, because they try to mix God's thoughts into the mind of humanity and try to fix this mind. You can't fix a mind like this. The natural mind cannot be fixed. It has to be done away with. There has to be an absolute separation from this mind of thinking of the natural man. Okay? And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread, this is the artos, the resurrection bread, with what? Defiled or unclean hands, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. You know what they did? What the language really says? They blamed him. They blamed him for his disciples not following the tradition. Does that sound familiar? If you don't follow the church tradition today, who are they going to blame? See? I get blamed for a lot of things. Well, those people wouldn't be like if it wasn't for you. I thank God they're like they are. I thank God somebody's coming out and hearing the truth. I thank God for that, that somebody's hearing. If they want to find fault with me, who cares? You can hang them with a new rope, put stainless steel or golden spikes into them, hang them to the cross, and they'd still complain. I mean, you couldn't do it any way that would be acceptable to them, would it? The natural man, the religious mind, will never go to the cross willingly. They'll fight you all the way there. And there's no sense nailing somebody to a tree if they're not going willingly. You might as well give it up. You're going to go sooner or later. Okay. But they found fault with Jesus because his disciples were not doing what the religious folks said. Well, you know, I thank God that there's somebody that's breaking tradition. Amen. Somebody's got to break this tradition somewhere. I'm glad to be part of it. I'm glad to be part of it. I'm glad that someone says, you're crazy. Well, they called Jesus crazy, said he was full of devils. What do I care what they think about me? If they thought about our Lord, Jesus, and said he was crazy, what are they going to think about us? Should they think better of us? I don't think so. He said, if they'll do this to a green tree, what are they going to do to the dry tree? He's the green tree. Green speaks of life, and the life comes from him. And we're the dry tree, so guess what? They're not going to treat us any better, are they? If we think that religion is going to accept us, the world's going to accept us, well, we got a wrong thinking process. That's what the whole pattern shows. He walked it out, told the truth, and they killed him for it. What are they going to do to you? They may not take you and nail you to a tree physically, but they will with their tongue. They'll slaughter you with your tongue. They'll try to destroy you in every way possible. It says, because the Pharisees and all the Jews, unless they wash their hands, it says oft, that's not what it literally says in the language. It says, unless they wash their hands up to the elbow. That's what it says. Sounds like surgeons, huh? Got to wash it all the way to the elbow, they couldn't eat. That's what the language says. Wash it up to the elbow. Okay? Do you think maybe they had a problem with germs? Maybe getting sick? Maybe somebody was starting to figure out that and they made something out of it. Well, it was a tradition, yes, but they made it out of it for some reason. Something started the washing. You know, something started. No. Sure, but see, the priest washed before they entered into the holy place, but they took it outside to the house, see, everywhere. And just like when God gave the commandments to Moses, the Jews immediately added 682 more laws. Well, who could remember them, much less keep them? I couldn't. Could you? Well, I don't try to remember 10. I just remember one. Love my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and body, and love my neighbor as myself. That's just one. Just love. That'll cover it all. That's the easy one. The easy one to remember, the hard one to live. Okay.
Not really.
Well,
it's really easier to live that way if you really...
Once you get the mind. Yeah. Once you get the mind. But until you get there, it's hard to say, well, they don't love me. Well, that's no excuse, because love doesn't require anything from you. Love doesn't require anything. Unless they wash their hands up the elbow, they eat not, retaining the tradition of the elders. See, that's just a tradition of the elders. There's nothing the law about that. That's a tradition of the elders. That's religious tradition. Just like the women wearing their hair up and can't wear makeup and can't wear slacks and all these foolish things the church comes up with. There's no tradition. Men can't have long hair. I'd love to have some, but, you know, that's the way it goes. Doesn't make any difference whether you got hair or not hair. And when they come from the market or the town square, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received, or literally that word received is the word retain. You see a difference in the meaning? See, receive means they took it. But the word retain means they practice this thing and they hold on to it. It's got a much deeper meaning when the word says they retain it. See, they don't want to change, do they? If I want to retain the traditions that I am living in, will I ever change? See, I've got to realize something's wrong with my thinking process. I talked to somebody in the last couple days, I don't remember who it was, and I said, look, you want me to fix you? I can't fix you. You don't want to be fixed. You have to want to be fixed. Until you can say, my thinking process is flawed, you will never be fixed. But when you realize my thinking process as a human being is contrary to the ways of God, if I can take that and speak that out of my mouth and let my own ears hear it, because when I speak, those words go right back into my ears. And who am I talking to? Myself. See? I'm talking right to myself. And if God is in you, when you speak, who's talking to you?
God.
See, when I speak those words, God's speaking them right back into me. And faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So I speak that out, and guess where it goes? I'm preaching to me before I preach to anybody else. I preach to me first. It says, but they eat bread. When the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk... I'm not there yet, am I? I'm still up in four. Okay. They have retained to hold or retain as the washing of cups and pots. Okay, no, let me tell you something here. I made a mistake. I got a word twisted. When I go back, it says, which they have received, which they have learned, to retain, learn to, not retain, what's it say there? Receive to hold, it should say, they have learned to retain. That make more sense now? I missed something there. It didn't. They learned to retain it, though. Someone taught them that, see? And that's what's going on in the churches today, isn't it? Someone comes along and says, this is the way it is. If you don't take communion every Sunday, you'll go to hell. And what do people do? There's people running around all the place that says, if you don't take communion every Sunday, you're going to hell. And they believe it with all their heart, don't they? Other people say, if you don't get water baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus, you're going to hell. Well, I'm sorry, that's a tradition. That don't go with the book, see? There's no place that you're threatened with hell.
What I'm seeing is that they don't stop and think and say, God didn't tell me to do this. You told me to do this.
See? But you said something there. You said a word. They didn't think. Church people don't think. They trust the person up here, and that's stupid. See? You've got to talk to God yourself. Paul said, work out your own salvation, your own deliverance. Didn't he? See, we can't take the word of somebody else. I'll tell you, don't take my word. I'm going to do everything in my power to try to tell you the truth. But you can't trust me. You've got to look at yourself. Does that make sense? You've got to do it yourself. See, you're not supposed to be a bunch of baby birds, and I'm supposed to come by and drop a little bite in your mouth, a little morsel every now and then, so you can survive. Because you can't survive on that. If the Spirit of God's alive in you, it'll drive you to get hungry. And then he say, blessed are those that are hungry and thirst after me. They shall be filled. And when you get that craving for this word, he's going to fill you up in it. Had a woman call me from Florida. No, I had a pastor call me from Florida about a lady who used to go here, is in Florida now, but they're desiring to come back and they're having all these problems and everything. And I told her, I said, honey, I said, you know, there's nothing much I can do for you. I mean, you've got this church down there that they're going to keep you in a motel for so long until you get enough money to get back, and they're something in by next Friday or something, you know. So they'll give them 2 weeks of motel expenses, and they're feeding them and everything. So, you know, really don't need anything from me. The pastor just wanted to talk to me. And I told her, I said, there's one thing about this place. I'm not a diaper changer, and I'm not very good at powdering bottoms. You know, I want you to grow up, and so does God. So this isn't a place to play and be a baby. It's to grow up and be a mature son. And she said, well, I understand that, but again, it's a mental ascent. They don't want to, and the next breath, they go right back saying something, you know, where they was at before. And that's the truth. This is not a place to be a baby. We can't stay there. We have to grow up. This gospel that's preached demands one thing. Change. You got to change. You don't have an option in this. If you hear truth in the spirit, in your spirit, you'll change. If you hear it with these little protrusions on the side of your head we call ears, you'll never change. You'll just say, oh, that's interesting. That was nice. Mm, yeah, that's good. Huh?
Good sermon.
Don't know what he said, but it was good. It must have been spiritual. It went over my head. I don't know what it was, but it must have been good. See, those kind of things, you never change. You've got to let this thing get inside of you and make you think and understand what God is really trying to do. How can I put on the mind of Christ if I don't know what it is? I just haven't figured that out yet. And all the church world's running around saying they got the mind of Christ. But you know, they're not acting like the mind of Christ. They're acting like worldly people. I can't tell. I said you could take most of the church folk and stick them in a bag of rattlesnakes and shake them up and dump them out on the floor and you couldn't separate them. You wouldn't know which one was which. Because both of them would bite you anytime you get close to them. And that's the truth. Yeah, they got fangs. Yeah. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I'm not knocking church. I'm just saying there's no difference between the people that go to church and the people in the world. Where's the difference? He said, come out from be a separate people. Where's the difference? Where's the difference between us and them? Okay. There's got to be a nature change somewhere coming. And what did he say? I keep just clicking in my head. Romans. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. That word world is not world, it's age. Don't be conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? For because I say through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We've got to change this thinking thing. Be not conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed is a process, would you agree? So the church says, oh, we got the mind of Christ, we're changed. No, you ain't. You've never experienced the change. There's got to be a change come by experience. You have to be given the opportunity to show who you are. Jesus was given many, many opportunities to lash back at people that did him wrong. Is that true? They said wrong things about him. They lied about him. They treated him very horribly. One time did he ever lash back and beat him up? And he had the power to do it, didn't he? But what did he do? Even when they nailed him on the tree, what was his words? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen said the same thing in Acts when they were stoning. Father, lay not this sin to their charge. It's the same Spirit speaking out of him that spoke out of Christ, out of Jesus on the cross. The Christ was speaking out of him and says, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Same Spirit. And it's got to be in you. So when people abuse you, they're just giving you an opportunity. And as long as you think that they're doing something bad to you, are you ever going to express the Christ?
No.
No. But when you look at it and realize every time somebody steps on you, does you wrong, you're going to realize that that's an opportunity to manifest Christ in your life. You're never going to manifest Christ unless you get put in that place. But how many people can say, I thank you for what you've done to me? Sure. See? That's what we have to come to. Come on, this isn't some up in the pie in the sky thing. This is a reality. We got to get to a reality check. We have to be able to say, just like he did, it's okay. When they say all manner of evil about you and despitefully use you, what did he tell you to do?
Pray.
Pray for them. And then what did he say? Great is your reward. He said you're blessed, and great is your reward in the spirit realm. Well, how many people that get stomped on, kicked in the face, slam dunked, run over and say, thank you, brother, for blessing me. But they did. He gave you an opportunity. You could have been blessed. And here we did, and blew it. Is that condemnation? No.
So I see myself all blessed.
That's exactly what you do. That's exactly what you do.
Yes, you did.
And if you're the one that did it, you didn't get blessed. See, this is the truth. And this isn't what you're going to hear in all these churches. They're going to tell you, you've got a right to lash back at somebody. You've got a right to pull them fangs out and drive them into somebody. That's a serpent nature. It's not Jesus' nature, is it? See? That's it. That's an American trait. God's not an American, and nothing about this book is American. See? Yep, they wave with flags they want to. I don't care. God's not an American. God doesn't think any more highly of America than he does any country in the world, including Afghanistan.
God can't justify no more
sin. Never could. You just thought you could. Bless God for all of it. See, we gotta get to cut through all this chase, all this smoke screen that they've laid out. And you know, every church that I was in lied to me. They did. Now, I'm not mad at those people. They lied to me out of ignorance. They didn't know. They tried. They were doing it with their carnality, with intellect. And this is not about intellect. This is about spirit. It's not about how smart you are. It's about how much do you love God. What kind of a heart do you have? Do you have a heart to love Him? That's all this is about. See, He didn't go look for all these fancy lawyers and intellectual people when He got His disciples, did He? He got tax collectors and fishermen and just hobos on the road, you know. He didn't go looking for the smart people, did he? He went for people that had lived in hell. and now they're ready to come to life. Is it any different today? He's looking for people that lived the hell, and they're looking for the life. Once you've been in hell, I'm going to tell you what. You know what death is? When you get a hold of life, there ain't no going back to the other one. See? You never go back to the other one once you taste the truth. Never happen. Okay, where was I at? Still in four. Okay, that's good. I moved a little bit. It says, many other things there be which you have learned to retain, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of... The word table isn't table. It's couch. Wonder what they learned on the couch.
That's what I've seen here. I remember what they worked in the couch for.
Yeah. It wasn't that. They just done things on the couch they probably shouldn't have been doing. There's a whole lot of preachers getting in them troubles. But they were clean when they did it. Yeah, because it was a tradition of the elders. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat their food, bread, but their food with unclean hands? Now, you know God's really concerned whether your fingernails are clean or if there's a germ crawling around your hand. Now, that would just be unholy and unrighteous to eat a piece of bread like that, wouldn't it? But you know what? Our nation, our world was healthier when we didn't know about germs. We were healthier. You know why? Because now we're driven by fear to kill them germs because they'll hurt us. But most of those germs won't hurt us. They actually help our body. You take all the bacteria off your body and you'll die shortly. You'll die. And see, everything today is disinfected. Isn't it? I mean, they sell you this stuff now that anywhere you can go, you can just dump on your hands and rub it and it evaporates, but it kills all the germs. Every time a kid gets a sniffle, where do they take him? And what does he give them? Or some kind of antibiotics. Instead of letting the immune system grow, and it grows by the opposition and gets stronger by the use of it, they try to kill everything and not use the very gift that God placed in our body to make us well. See, they destroyed the gift that God put in our bodies to make us well. People wonder why they're sick. Because they won't let their body go through the process. See, every time we get sick, we want to take a pill or a shot or something to make us not feel pain or feel bad. Make me quick, hurry. Make me quick. Get over with. I don't think it's God. I think everything is for a reason. And if we don't go through that process, then we're not coming out the other end clean. I've got to sense it. I've got to grow. I've got to build myself up. And today our children are sick more than ever because they've never had to fight anything. As soon as they get sick, somebody runs them to, mommy runs them to there, or daddy runs them to, or grandma or grandpa runs them to a doctor. Their immune systems are shot. And we've got so many strains of diseases, it's unreal, and they're more coming. And because the people don't take the medication the way they were supposed to, the strain gets halfway killed down and mutates and comes into something that now they can't even control. Why do you think the world's going that way? Because people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. They've got a better idea. See, they come up with a better idea than God. Try to change it all. Okay, so these traditions that the Pharisees are worried about, see, they're worried about their traditions. Are they concerned about God? I haven't heard them say anything about God involved in any of this. It's just their own tradition. And he says, he answered them and said unto them, this is Jesus answering, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. You know what? Go tell them they're hypocrites today and see what they do to you. You think they're going to be happy with you? They're going to get the stones out. And them Jews back then knew how to throw a headstone. And so do they today. They're shooting for your head. They'll try to kill you. He said, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips. What's the lips talk about?
The
words. Absolutely. See, they're just saying they love me. Do you know how many people, if you go to church, you wouldn't find anybody in church that wouldn't tell you, oh, I love God. Well, if you love God, he says, you'll keep my commandments. Well, then, if they're not keeping his commandments, then which one's lying? I got a little thing in my office when I counsel people a lot of times. They'll tell me that. I've heard people tell me that many times. Say, I love God with all my heart. You know what I tell them? Read this. I got it on my office wall. It says, excuse me, I can't hear you. Your lifestyle is speaking louder than your words. You say you do, but you're not acting like it. See? What am I supposed to do? Didn't Jesus say, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears? Well, if your life is bearing nothing but confusion and trouble and chaos and despair and condemnation, just all something's wrong. That's not the fruit that God told us to bear, did it? We need to bear much fruit in Him. He's not looking for condemnation, guilt, and all that foolishness. He's looking for righteousness, peace, and joy. See? Somebody is saying words, but their heart is where?
Far away.
See? But their heart is, literally, the language says, is refrained from me. Now, why would he say refrained? Didn't say far, but he said refrained. Why? Think. Why does he say refrained? Because it's a choice. You just made your choice. See, is God going to stop you from worshiping Him? See, who stops you from worshiping God? Your mind. That mind is afraid to let go. It's kind of like this. I'll say it's like this. It's scary. It's scary to step out and let God totally have control. It's about as scary as going down the side of a mountain 85 miles an hour and climbing in the back seat and just let the thing drive itself. Going down a freeway and just say, I don't feel like driving, I'll just crawl in the back seat and go to sleep. That's about how scary it is to let God do it, if you don't believe God to start with. See, if you trust in yourself, you can't let go of that steering wheel. But if you truly love God, you can let loose of it. What I said last week about the peace. You want to know how to find peace? Realize you're not in control. If I'm not in control, why sweat it? Why struggle? Why wrestle? I can just let loose. It's not my responsibility. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do and go on. I can't change the world. Can you? I can't change the world. I can only do what Father tells me to do. And I can only obey here. I can't make anybody else obey. See, that's a personal thing.
I think we change the world one-on-one.
I'm going to change this world. Yeah. See, my piece of the world. Yeah. Well, but until my world is changed, and it's like Lois was talking about, until I come to that perfection, I can't change nobody. All I can do is give. What do you think in the Old Testament when Jacob had the vision of what they call the Jacob's ladder? Why do you think it was the directions was the way they was? He saw the messengers, the angels, ascending and then descending, see? Until I grow into the maturity and go into the Holy of Holies, realize what's got there, and bring a message back to humanity, I don't have anything but carnality until I ascend into the heavenlies. So all I got to give you is carnality. You don't need no more carnality, do you? I mean, we've had that all through centuries. We need someone to step up and step into the throne room and come back with the message of God and say, here it is, and not be afraid to declare it. Too many people today are afraid to declare the message. I've heard them say it this way. We'll preach it that way, but we won't name the baby. See, that's compromise. Any way you slice it or dice, it's compromise. You got to be able, just like Jesus did. Did he back down when he faced the Pharisees? He said, well, you know, you guys are pretty good. No, he called them serpents,
hypocrites.
Snakes, vipers, hypocrites. Now, they say, today if you say it in church, they say, you're judging somebody. No, I'm just revealing truth. The truth is the truth, isn't it? And if it's said with the spirit of love in it, there's nothing wrong with it, no matter what it exposes. See, everybody wants to cover everything up and hide it. You can't clean it up if it's covered. The only way you're going to clean it up is expose it. So I'm an exposer. I'll expose things with the intent to help you. Verse 7, he says, howbeit in vain, or for no purpose. To no purpose do they worship me. See, there's no purpose for their worship to me. In most of the realms of Passover and Pentecost, there's no purpose to most of the people to go to church and sing the hymns. You hear me? There's no purpose to it, because they don't even have a relationship with God. The only relationship they have is the same way it was under the law. Moses, you're our mediator. You go talk to God. They're afraid of God. That's why people are refrained, okay? Because they're afraid of God. Because the church has told them God is this big bad monster who wants to send them to hell, and if they make one mistake, he's going to bash you in the head and throw you into hell. Well, who wants to get next to somebody like that? My book says God is love. Now, I don't know where they're getting their message at. My book says he's love. Then why should I be afraid of someone that loves me? Huh? If someone loves you, can they hurt you? No. Now, I'm not talking about words again. I'm saying if you love somebody, you can't hurt them. It's an impossibility, isn't it? It's an absolute impossibility to hurt somebody if you love them. Because hurt is not part of love.
That's why you only got to keep the one commandment.
Love. If you love, you can't hurt anybody. He said, howbeit, to no purpose do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the what? That word right there is religious precepts. The religious precepts of humanity. Humanism. The church today, what do you think they're preaching? It's not a Christ-centered message, it's a man-centered message. So what is it? We got a label for it. What do we call it?
Secular humanism.
Secular humanism or humanistic views. That's what the church is preaching. It's about the preacher or about you, the person. It's not about us. This book is only about one thing, Christ. Paul said what? He said, I preach Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. That's all there is. It's not about us, is it? The word commandments here is religious precepts. The religious precepts of men. They teach the doctrines for doctrines, the religious precepts of men. Isn't that the church? Every church has a set of rules and regulations. I don't even remember what they call them. I can't remember what they call them. They got a name for it. Tenets or something like that. They got a name for it. But see, all it is a religious precept that man came up with. They come up with another doctrine or another formula of how to make you righteous. And the only way you can be righteous is what he did, nothing that you do. Correct? Okay. Verse 8. Because laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such things do. See, he said, laying aside the commandment of God. That means they know what God said, but they put it aside and put theirs in the place of it. There's a little responsibility on that one, ain't there? The church knows. You'd be surprised how many preachers, there's not one preacher in this county that'll associate with me. I'm not wearing that as a badge of honor, that's just the truth. Nobody will associate with me. And I have said things to them and showed them truths, and you know what they say? Brother, do you realize the implication of that? I said, yeah, you lose control. He said, I'll lose people. Yeah, you're right. You didn't have them anyway. Does anybody own you? God, He purchased you. No man owns anybody. And see, they have this vision in their head that they own all these people. They're their people. You never hear me say, my people, do you? Because I don't own nobody. I'm owned by Him. So they're all scared of what will happen if this truth comes out. I can't help that. I'm going to stand up, boldly declare what it says. And if my God is in control, then why should I fear them? I mean, I've been threatened by a lot of things, and it don't mean anything. The church says, you can't do that. You know, we'll do this, we'll do that. Oh, come on. You know, I know who's talking there. It's not God. Verse 9, he says, and he said unto them, full well, or literally, truly, you reject the commandment of God. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? You reject the commandment of God in order that you may keep your own tradition. That word, that, is the Greek word, hina, which means in order that. So, truly, or full well, you reject the commandment of God in order that you may keep your own tradition. Oh, absolutely. See, it's about man. See, it's that humanistic, secular view that the church is teaching. It's not about what God says. I've said this before a few times. There was a paper I used to get years ago called Pulpit Helps. And they were showing how the churches were traversing from the truth of the Scriptures. And they were taking a class of, they took all the seminaries that had all the students graduating this year. They were all the last year students. And they talked to 5,000 of them from all different denominations all over the United States. And in out of those 5,000, 78%, and this was years ago, this was 8 or 9 years ago, 78% of the ones coming out of the seminary did not believe that the blood of Christ cleansed us. There was another way. There was 80% or better, 87% that said they did not believe Mary gave a virgin birth to the Christ. We got a problem. Those are foundational principles. And I know a lot of people still say, yeah, but you go all over this country, we're living in a little bubble here in Sauter County. We're not hearing all the things that go out there in churches. Get out around the world and see what's going on. You'll be blown away. This is what they call the Bible Belt through here, so everybody's afraid if it ain't the King James, you're going to hell anyway if you touch it, you know. So we all set on this one thing and just believe this thing, and we don't listen to nothing else, and you don't know what's going on out there. These people are changing everything. They got homosexuals and lesbians ministering in the church. They've got everything in the world. That's not God. That's man. I'm not against homosexuals. I'm against the acts that they do. Verse 10, because Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whosoever or whoso or the one that curses father or mother or speaks evil of or reviles or abuses one's mother or father, let him die the death. But now he's talking to the religious folk again. He says, but you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban. What's that mean? It literally means it's a consecrated gift to the temple fund. Now what's he saying?
Like a pledge.
Yeah, if you make a pledge to the church, that's more important than taking care of your mother and father. And the commandment says, if you don't honor your mother and father, your life won't be long upon the earth, didn't he? So, the religious folk, what are they after?
Money.
Money, money, money. Get that pledge in here. What'd you say Benny Hinn scared you last night?
Yeah, I heard him.
And he was threatening to send you to hell if you didn't give me... He's going to send you to hell if you didn't send him some money for his crusade, see? Now, what's this right here saying? Right there is a fulfillment of that scripture. See? Fulfillment of it. Now, I don't care if he hears the tape. I'll send it to him if you want to. I'm not afraid of him. I don't care. I'll give you a tape. You can do what you want to with it. That's a perfect example of the religious Pharisees making rules and regulations overriding what God says. And he says that it is to say, or which is to say, a gift or a sacrifice by or from whatsoever you mightest be profited from me, he shall be free. See, religion's setting them free. You don't have to hold up to what God said. You don't have to... Any pledge you make to God, you don't have to keep up. Make sure you give it to the church. See? And you suffer or allow him no more to do anything for his father or mother. So you've relieved him of his responsibility. And today, if the church, if a preacher tells somebody, oh, you don't have to do that, because, oh, I'm free. Now, God said don't do it, and the church says do it, and they'll believe the preacher over they will God. Why? Yeah, they're scared of him because the preacher's done told him he's the man. See? Verse 13, this used to be on a sign we had out front, making the word of God of none effect through your traditions which you have delivered and many such things you do. Literally, it should say this, invalidating. Invalidating. That means it's not valid any longer by what you've taught. You've taught things that invalidate the word of God. The words of none effect shouldn't even be there. Through your tradition, which you have what? Literally the language says, you have handed down to others. You've handed down to others. See, that's a tradition. You just hand it down, kind of like this thing coming up here in a few days. Tradition, tradition, tradition. In the 25th.
Oh.
Yeah. And many such like things you do. And when he had called or summoned them once more, all, literally the word all there should be once more. When he had summoned them once more, the people to him, he said unto them, hearken or hear me, every one of you, listen to me and understand. Now, do you think he would have said that if you didn't have the ability to understand it? It would have been an incorrect statement to say, listen to this and understand me, if you didn't have the ability to understand it. Use your brain, which I gave you. Of humanity, that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, out of humanity, are those things which defile the humanity. See? What I eat, what I drink, has no bearing on defiling me, but it's the things that are birthed in my heart. Heart, the mouth speaks. But what I'm saying is, like, adultery, fornication, murder, lust, jealousies, all these things, retaliation, anger, violence. Where'd it come from? The heart of man. And those are the things that defile you. Not what you eat. So we can eat anything we want to. But again, if we eat the wrong things, we'll reap what we sow. If we lived under the kosher diet that the Jews lived under, we'd be very healthy. Although there's a lot of strict rules and regulations. Like, don't eat those certain types of shellfish and shrimp and all that stuff because they're filthy. As far as they can't cleanse their bodies. They don't have a liver or a cleansing system in their bodies, so they're nasty.
You can look at this in another way, in a spiritual way. If you're eating whatever these Pharisees are feeding you by their tradition,
you're getting defiled. Well, that's what creates that stuff in you. Religion teaching you all these traditions of men put all those things in you that could defile you. Because you agree with them in here. You create them in your own mind. He says there's nothing from without that can defile you, but everything from within is what defiles humanity. And then he says this little passage in 16. If any, the word man isn't there, if any have ears to hear, let them hear. You think he's talking about them little things on the side of your head? Everybody's got these, ain't they? See, he's talking about the spiritual ear. You've got to be able to hear and understand. He's talking about the things coming out of your heart, not the food going in. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you likewise stupid? That's what the language says. Are you likewise stupid? Are you like them out there? Are you stupid? The language is there. Are you stupid also? Do you not perceive that all things from where? Or external enters into the humanity? It cannot possibly, literally the language says, absolutely cannot possibly defile him. What is that saying? Nothing from outside absolutely, positively cannot defile you from the outside. That's what the language says, even.
Not even
the devil. Nothing. Nothing can defile you. Okay? So, because, he says, verse 19, because it enters not into his where? Aha. What you eat doesn't go into your heart. It goes into your belly. And goes out the what? It goes out into the what? What's the word? Toilet. Literally says toilet. Goes into the toilet. See? You eat it, your body takes what it needs and discharges the rest of it. And that says purging or cleansing all food. The word right there is broma. It should be food. So your body cleanses what? All food. Again, we go back to that defense system that God put in us. He put an immune system in us to cleanse and do away with all that vile stuff. The Holy Spirit. And see, in the natural, the church has set the Holy Spirit aside. He doesn't have a place in the church. See? They stopped. That was in the first century. Yeah, you don't do that no more. That's what they say. See? But that's what we're portraying in the natural. We are stopping our immune system, which is the Holy Spirit in us. But But in the natural, our immune system is being destroyed the same way because it's not effective enough. Our drugs are better than what God has put in us. Isn't that what they're portraying? That if you just take these drugs, you don't need an immune system. We'll give you better because we got drugs to fix you. See, there's the confusion. And it's a temporary fix, and it's going to make you worse in the long run. And he said, that which comes out of man, or humanity, that thing defiles the man. See, that's what defiles the humanity. What I say and what I do, the actions that I give. People ask me all the time, what's the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? What's taking the Lord's name in vain? Not living like the Son of God you're supposed to be. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who's never met God or never had it. I'm talking about people who say they are children of God. They want to be Christians. And they don't act anything like Christ. There is taking His name and His nature in vain. There's what the big one is. Not acting and being what you're supposed to be. If I never claim to be a son of God, and I'm just some heathen running around the world out here, a heathen's supposed to act stupid, isn't he? Act like a heathen. But when I say I'm a son of God, then I better start acting like what I'm saying, or else I'm what? I'm a hypocrite. Anybody says they're a son of God, a child of God, Christian, whatever they want to say, and don't live like it, they're a hypocrite. Boy, that puts a label on a bunch of them, don't it? Most preachers can get that label too. Just follow them around. I got one that lies so much it's pathetic. I confronted him about it one time. I said, you know, you told me you was going to do this, you didn't do it. He said, brother, you're not the only one I do that to. I do it to my mom and dad too. I said, oh, that makes it right. And that's how he justified it. He's never changed anything. He still does it that way. You know what? He's taking the Lord's name in vain. He's not acting like he should. He's defiling himself. And he says, you know, like James said, be not many teachers, brethren. Don't be quick to be a teacher, knowing that we'll receive the greater judgment. So, got to watch that when you step up and make yourself something. You better be sure to back it up right. Okay, verse 21. Because that from within, or internally, out of the heart, the thought process of men, proceed what? So he said, out of the heart of men proceed what? Now, if evil thoughts come out of the heart, what is the heart? Right here. It's a thought process. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, right? What is fornication? Well, it literally, the word says idolatry for fornication. It's the wrong translation of the word to start with. The word idolatry here. Now, what does idolatry represent? Idolatry is unfaithfulness. See, that's why he called Israel a harlot, a prostitute. See, because they were worshiping idols, they were in idolatry and they weren't faithful to God. They had some other thing out there other than Him, and they weren't faithful to Him. So idolatry speaks of unfaithfulness, or when he calls them a prostitute or a whore or a harlot, he's saying they're unfaithful. Okay? And murderers, thefts, covetousness. What is covetousness? Greed or extortion, what the language says. Wickedness. Deceit, lasciviousness. What's this one? Aha. Lasciviousness. Nope. That's unbridled lust. That means anything goes, just go for it. You know, like the world is today, like most of the church. Huh? Well, it could be anything. See, unbridled. I mean, someone who just, like these big orgies and everything going, just anything goes, unbridled lust. Just anything you think it, you do it, you know. That's unbridled, that's lasciviousness. Also, an evil eye. What's that mean? It's not what you think, probably. Envy. Envy. The evil eye is envy. Blasphemy. The word blasphemy literally is slander. Now, slander is not telling the truth. I'll tell you that right up front. If you told a lie, if it was you, Steve, and him. Steve told a lie, and I went to Ed and said, Ed, Steve told me a lie. Where I was trained up in a religious system, they said, that's slander. Is it slander if Steve told me a lie and I told Ed, Ed, he lied to me, would that be slander? What would it be? Bingo. Look in the dictionary. You'll find out slander is a malicious lie with the intent to hurt someone. Sure. See? So the church says it this way, especially the preachers. Don't ever say anything like that, by the way, even if they do it. Especially preachers. Don't say anything about them. See, they're building a shield around themselves to protect themselves like they're untouchable. If I lie, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. And I should be exposed. And I think God would expose it. See? But we've got to get free from all this stuff we've been taught. Pride. I don't need to say nothing about that. How many people's on the earth today? How many? Too many? How many?
6.5 billion.
Okay, there's 6.5 billion ways to see pride. That means different types of pride. Everybody's got a different way to be prideful. Everybody's got something.
Oh, not me.
Okay. Right. Really? Foolishness. We all know what that is. All these evil things. He said all this is evilness. And it comes from within and defiles the man. Every bit of this stuff comes out of the heart, which is this thing right up here, the mind. And it defiles the man.
The man.
The humanity. Okay, it's the man, the humanity. And from there he rose up and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into the house. And he preferred that no man know it, but he could not be hid. Okay? He could not be hid. And literally the language says this. It's in the language. It says, he could not be hid in Asia Minor. In the whole country, he couldn't be hid because everybody knew who he was because of what he had been doing. And you know, that's what the Christ is going to come to. It's going to come to that point. You ain't going to be able to hide from people. We've had meetings this year in Minnesota. I couldn't hide from the people. There were people, I'd get up in the morning and the place would be filled waiting for me. Wasn't supposed to have a meeting for 2 days yet. They want it. There's people that want the truth. There's most of them that don't, but there's people that want it. And eventually it's going to get out. And guess what? They're going to follow those people that's preaching truth. They're going to do just what Paul said. Mark them who follow Christ and follow them. But it's coming. Verse 25, because a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. She was Greek speaking. A Syrophoenician by nation. What does that mean, Syrophoenician?
Assyrian and a Phoenician combined.
What's that mean?
Duality.
She had double thinking. See, she had duality. It was a mixed race, the Syrians and Phoenicians. And by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. What's she really saying? Seeing it's parables. What's she really saying? Huh? She's saying, cast that thing out of my soul. It's all parable. You know, if you want to look at it natural, you can, but we're talking about spiritual things. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it's not good to take the children's bread and cast it into the dogs. The language says to the little puppies. Not proper. It's not meat. It's not good. He said, I can't take the children's bread yet. I've got to feed them first. But when they don't take it, guess what? The dogs, the Gentile. He just called her a Gentile to her face. Now, how many people would come to a preacher and say, I need a devil cast out of me, and the man says, you're a heathen. And they'll stand right there and take it. This woman said, you've got life. I don't care what you say to me. You've got the spirit of life, and I want it. That's all. He says, you've got the spirit of life, and I'm not leaving till I get it. Just like Jacob said, I ain't letting you go till you bless me. See? There's the spirit in her heart. See, whose daughter was she? Really a daughter of Abraham. She was of the seed of Abraham. That's her heart crying out. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it's not good to take the children's bread, and that's artos, the resurrection bread, and cast it to the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. You know which word that is for children right there? Now, it's different. No, it's not weos. It's pedion. Right in the middle. Immature. It's in Pentecost. See? Brephos, Nepios, Pateon, Technon. See, Pateon, Pentecost. Where's that picture? In the tabernacle of Moses. Brephos, Nepios, Pateon. First step into Pentecost. Holy place is Pentecost. See? That's where she's at. He said, I can't take them Pentecostal babies' food away from them. Don't everybody get mad at me now. And he said to her, because of this saying, go your way. The devil is gone out of your, these evil thoughts are out of your soul. You're clean. Now, and when she was come to her house, where's her house?
Where she was at.
Right here. When she come to her senses, she come to her right mind, she found the devil gone out and her soul laid upon the bed. How about an altar? And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee, that's the heathen circle, okay, the heathen humanity, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, which is the 10 cities. 10 is what?
Law.
So that's what's all going on in the law, under the law. And they bring to him one that was deaf and had an impediment of his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand on him. And he took him from the multitude. Notice he took him away from the multitudes. And put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. What did he do?
See?
He touched him here. He gave him the ability to hear. And you've got to hear first before you can ever speak. Remember the book says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. And most people speak before they've ever been touched on the ears by the Spirit of God. So guess what? They're not hearing. All they're going to talk out of is the carnality that they have to start with. It's not going to do anybody any good. But he spit and touched his tongue. What is he really doing? He's anointing the tongue. When you hear from God, he will anoint the tongue to speak. And then you're going to speak the truth. See, it won't be talking out of carnality any longer. And looking up to heaven, or to the spirit realm, he sighed, or literally it says this, the word sighed. He prayed inaudibly. Language says he prayed inaudibly. That means he was speaking within himself to the Father. That makes sense? He spoke to himself. He didn't sigh. He spoke inaudibly in himself. He prayed inaudibly and said to him that word. Whatever. That thing. What it words is. Which literally means be opened. He prayed inaudibly and then he said, be opened. He said one word, be opened. Two words. And immediately, or at once, his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loose and he spoke plainly. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much more, a great deal, they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Spiritually. See? God told me a long time ago that's what my call was. To resurrect people from the dead. To open blinded eyes and deaf ears. Spiritually. Won't defile me. Any questions?
I have one.
Okay.